you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning, well, we're using two texts from the Old Testament text, Remember Your Creator in the Days of Your Youth, from the Gospel lesson, the word to the rich man. God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? This is the text. Children helped us along here because they brought us to that first place where everything comes together, and that is that we are known by God, and every part of our life is lived as a walk with God. Backing up from there. So you have the contrast set down. You have Solomon and his wisdom, and you have Jesus' parable about the rich fool. And the contrast is set down because, well, okay, the book of Ecclesiastes, tucked in there between the Psalms and the first book of the prophets, Isaiah, tucked right in there is Solomon's reflection on life. Solomon, being king in Israel, was able to explore all kinds of things in life and put himself into this enthusiastically and then to that enthusiastically. And Solomon tries out accumulating wealth, and he finds out that there's something missing. Yeah, we could have told him that, couldn't we? And he tries great building projects, and he finds out there's something missing. And he tries great learning and accumulating books, and at one point he says, of the accumulation of books, there is no end. And he finds out that in all of that gathering of knowledge, still, there's something missing. He turns and he tries out pleasure and indulges in everything that he can think of. And guess what he finds out? There's something missing. Okay? And on and on and on it goes. And in every part of life he finds out there's something missing. Along the way he reflects on things. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And that part we can kind of pick up and carry with us because, oh yes, there is a time for every purpose. But lived simply as this life, there's something missing. Finally, he gets to the end of his book, chapter 12, verse 1. This is Solomon's conclusion to all of his wisdom. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember. Remember because a life lived in the presence of God, a life lived in walking with God, with an awareness of God, with accepting what comes from the hand of God, the blessings as gifts from God, the trials as a call from God to come and return to God in prayer, all of that ends up being fulfilling. And now, there isn't something missing in all of this. Because a life lived in the presence of God is marked out as completely different. Let's go into one thing and try that out and see how it works out. Can somebody tell me what the common table prayer is? Yeah. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. Do you realize what you are saying when you pray that prayer? Because it's pretty profound. It says that this stuff on the table, it didn't get there by accident. It didn't get there simply by my work or by the skilled hands of those who prepared it. It didn't get there simply by the work of the farmer. It didn't get there simply by the chance of rain and sun and the weather being right. it got there as a gift specifically from God. And then you're saying, I will now look at my meal in that way, and this sitting down and putting food in my mouth is part of my relationship with God. Without Him, I would have none of these things. And even if I had this food on the table without the blessing of God, it wouldn't even nourish me. God must bless. He must bless both the food and my body to be able to take that nourishment in. And the things that God does to watch over and make sure that everything works right and that I am kept alive by this meal until the next time I sit down and receive another meal as a blessing from the hand of God. If I could count them, the ways that God watches over and does these things, well, as God said to Abraham, they would outnumber the sand. It is an amazing thing. And I will say then that my life is lived not simply as getting things that come along my way. My life is lived as someone created and made by God and held by God every moment, every day. And I will mark out the times, the moments, the hours, the days, the seconds, each of those as being from God. I claim that my life is not some random chance. I claim that my life is connected with the eternal God. And that's a huge claim, isn't it? But then again, there's that contrast. There's Solomon with his wisdom, and there is the rich fool that Jesus talks about in the parable. There's a story that I have to tell you. It comes from many, many years ago. I was fairly new at being a pastor. Was kind of overwhelmed by when this happened, but somebody told me to go out and visit a friend or relative. Keep it very nebulous, so it stays anonymous. So I went and visited this friend or relative. And they had a disease that was advancing and would eventually take them. And I went to them and started talking with them about God, about church, about Jesus. And the fellow there said, Pastor, I don't need anything that you're bringing today. Oh, okay. And I asked why. And he told me this. He said, I served in the Navy in World War II. I was on a battleship, and we were in combat, and the battleship got shot out from under me. And there I was in the water, floating there, and I called out to God. I said, God, rescue me. And he sent a boat to come along and pull me out of the water. And then it happened a second time. Another boat got shot out from under me, and I was in the water floating along and called out to God, God, save me. And he sent a boat and pulled me out. So me and God, we're good. I don't need anything you're offering or bringing today. And you wonder, how do you answer somebody like that? So it kind of sticks with you and you keep pondering it. And how do you answer? And finally coming up with an answer, finally something that makes sense. And my answer to his situation is there's a difference between first article prayers and second article prayers, between first article blessings and second article blessings. Now I have to explain that to you, don't I? Okay. First article of the Creed talks about all that we need for this body and life. Every physical need. Food, drink, house, home, everything. Preserving us in our time of danger. Our physical life. That's the first article things. The second article things are to have a relationship with God, to have that relationship given through Jesus Christ, to have it be because of the forgiveness of sins. And the second article things deal with death and resurrection. They deal with eternal life. They deal with where you stand before God as a person called to know right and wrong, as a person called to know what eternity is about. It is your spiritual life. And what that fellow so many years ago said to me, in effect, is, I'm okay, I've got the answer to prayers for my physical well-being. I don't need anything for my soul. Now, how does that sound? Sounded like that parable Jesus told. Yes. Here's the thing. When God answers prayers for first article things, and he does so, he even answered the prayers of those who do not believe that he's there. But when he answers those prayers, he always has in mind, come into a more complete relationship. When you call out to him for a first article prayer, when he answers that first article prayer, he always has in mind, now I want a relationship with you that is a spiritual relationship and that will lead not only to you having the things that you need for this day or for your body, but I want you to have all of those things you need for eternal life. Always ready to give more than we've asked for, isn't he? And it is a sad truth that when God wants to lead us into those things, there are way too many people that say, no, I'm fine, I've got the physical stuff, I don't need any of that spiritual business. That is the truth in our world, is it not? But that also leads us into going a little bit further and saying, now exactly how does God do that part of giving the spiritual? How does he move us into that spiritual blessing? And the way that he does that is through the giving of Jesus Christ. And how that happens is, Jesus was born, taking on a human body, coming into that first article relationship with his Father, now having to pray for the bread on the table and the daily needs. But as that relationship is done by Jesus Christ with his Father in heaven, it turns slightly different. Because part of our need was for Jesus to be forsaken. Was for those first article things of life and breath and defending in times of danger and guarding and protecting from all evil. Part of our need was for Jesus to be forsaken on the cross, to take what we had walked away from and did no longer deserve. Because you see, God is under no obligation to answer those prayers, even for daily bread. He does so out of love for us. But because of Adam and Eve, because of the fall into sin, we abandoned our rights to any of that. how they are given back to us is through Jesus Christ losing them. And we go back to that word at the center of the words of Jesus from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in those words, what comes to you is the giving of every bit of your daily bread. All of the first article answers to prayer, and then all of the second article answers to prayer, spiritual life and a relationship with God and joy in His presence forever. This is finally where the book of Ecclesiastes will end up leading us, is to live all of life in the presence of God and knowing where that relationship came from. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and we could tag right onto that. Remember also the Savior, the Redeemer, who has marked your life and marked every day and every moment of your life to be lived in His presence. And His design is for that every day and every moment of your life, for that to continue on, as the Greek says it, into the ages of the ages. As we say in the Lord's Prayer, forever and ever. And that is a gift. In Jesus' name, amen.